ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Thank you to all of you for making your, for coming here to experience the austerity of life at the ISKCON Kazan camp. Of course, if you don't like the austerity, if you don't think it's enough, we can always increase it if you like. But I think that's not necessary. Naham vedaya na tapasa, Lord Krishna says this to Arjuna, that he cannot be seen by simply by studying not Shastra nor by austerities. That in and of itself does not reveal Krishna. So thank you all also for greeting me nicely and serving me nicely. The genuine happiness and service mood with which devotees in Russia and neighboring countries, this we can say the ex-CIS, there's still CIS, isn't it? Yeah. CIS area. That I've only seen in Bangladesh. Otherwise, in other words, it's better than most places. So this spirit to serve Vaishnavas is conducive for spiritual advancement. Shuddha bhakata charanarena bhajana anukula. The dust of the lotus feet of pure devotees is favorable for Krishna bhakti. So that attitude to serve is auspicious, even when directed toward a castor tree. Castor tree. I don't know. It's English. You have to translate it. There's a tree in India and many places. I think it probably goes in Russia also, called castor tree. They make oil out of that, which is used as a lubricant.
So it is the tree bodies with tree.
Yeah, even when it's directed, even when the service attitude is directed towards a castor tree. Castor, he says castor. Not kasturi, that's something else. Kasturi is that means musk. That's the name of one gopi also. So the castor tree is an example given. It's not really a tree, it's a big plant, and maybe you could call it a tree. So there's a saying that in the absence of a tree, a castor plant can be considered a tree. So I'm speaking about the attitude to service favorable for advancement. Of course, we should know what service means. Once someone wanted to shave my head, and he was shaving and shaving and shaving. After about half an hour, I had to ask him to stop.
Half an hour?
Yeah. He might have gone on for 5 or 6 hours if I hadn't asked him to stop. I guess he thought that he wanted to do some service and he might not get the chance again, so he wanted to take the full opportunity. But to go on, after already the hair has come again, In 5 seconds, it grows about 1 nanometer, and then again to shave that off is not necessary. So, sometimes in the name of service, we can actually perform disservice. The enthusiasm to serve is a good beginning, but it's not all in all. Specifically, one should hear topics that are conducive for our spiritual development. Sometimes I think that devotees, they imagine the sannyasis and gurus to be something like what they imagine the Christian saints to be. That you go to their tomb, or you keep the picture, you pray. Or just like in Christianity, I don't know about in the Orthodox tradition, but in the Western world, the idea is that, well, you just pray to Jesus, you believe in Jesus, and that's Christianity. But the fact that he spoke extensively on how people should live and behave and act, that is not considered so important. The Christians stress very much you should have faith in Jesus. But if you have faith in him, as Srila Prabhupada pointed out, you should do what he says. So it's convenient to feel love in your heart, but not to follow what is taught. So if we treat our gurus like that, then we can't really benefit from what they have to offer us. We have to learn. And learning it's not exactly by the academic method. You see, anyone can read many books and become learned, even in the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. But what exactly we need to hear for our spiritual advancement may not be what we like to hear. Once Srila Prabhupada was in England and he was lecturing daily on the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, different verses from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in which Lord Krishna repeatedly and in various ways explains that we are not the body. Now, I hadn't joined ISKCON at that time, but later a devotee told me that a devotee had approached Prabhupada and said that, Prabhupada, every day you're lecturing that we're not the body. We've understood this. Now you can go on to another topic. He thought he would teach the teacher, teach the teacher how to teach. And Prabhupada replied, so I am told, that you have not understood, therefore I have to keep on telling you this. So everyone has understood, is it not, that we're not the body? I hope so.
Yeah,
understood means that, at least theoretically, we understand this. And more than just theoretically, we've based our lives on this. And probably if we were to sit in a bhakti shastra exam and we were asked questions, how can we understand that we are not the body, we could all give the answer and get full marks in this topic. Quote one verse from Bhagavad Gita in which Lord Krishna explains that the soul and the body are different. Anyone? Dehino smin yatha dehe kaumaram yoganam chara tatha dehantara praptihi dhirastatranamurit. The last line is a separate comment. The first three lines describe how the owner of the body and the body are different. Another verse. Yeah, say it.
Скажите его полностью.
Ва кадачин. Yeah, you could learn. Yeah, all right. Give the translation. For the soul, there is never birth nor death, nor he does not come into being. Najayate mriyate vakaji. Therefore, the soul, there is never birth nor death at any time. Nayam bhudva, he does not come into being. Bhavita, his existence is always there. Vana bhuya. He is unborn. It's all, there's all synonyms.
Ajo
Nitya Shashvato Ayam Purana. He's ancient, unborn, eternal. He is not slain when the body is slain. So we've all understood this, theoretically. But we've all probably had the realization that our realization is not very great. It's easy to talk, but it's not so easy to... It's easy to talk the talk, but not so easy to walk the walk. As this. Actual realization is more than simply discussing.
Yeah.
So, that doesn't mean we can't realize by the mercy of Krishna, everything can be revealed. But at the same time, we see that the same time, a teacher should teach according to the need of his pupils, not according to the desire of his pupils. Srila Prabhupada teaching, you are not the body, it's like Einstein teaching 1 plus 1 equals 2. But Srila Prabhupada very kindly did do. And of course, within his teachings, the whole gamut of Vaishnava understanding is given. Srila Prabhupada was a practical teacher. So like I was saying, sometimes it seems that devotees, they have a nice spirit to welcome and serve senior devotees, but the fact that we have to learn, that should also be considered. And again, learning doesn't mean simply to study various books. In fact, speaking about Gurukul education, Srila Prabhupada said that the most important thing they have to learn is what? I'm asking a question. What is the most important thing that the boys have to be taught in Gurukul education, according to Srila Prabhupada?
Кто-то может сказать? Humility and obedience.
Anyone else got a better guess? No, you don't know. Well, it's important because we're all Gurukul students, supposed to be. So Srila Prabhupada said that the most important thing, the most important facet of education is imparting of character, character training. Because unless that is there, one cannot properly advance in Krishna consciousness. Anyone from any background, however sinful, can take to Krishna consciousness.
Can.
But purification, the effect of Krishna consciousness should be purification. Now we, as I was saying, it's very easy unless we hear carefully what is to be taught, that we may take Krishna consciousness to be a kind of religion, something like that we already knew previously, which in this area would be Christianity and Islam. In such religions, there's a very broad allowance for acting sinfully. In all religious systems, sin is proscribed. Proscribed.
Proscribed
means forbidden. Prescribed is something that's prescribed and proscribed are practically opposite. However, within religious systems that are not very advanced, they often promote sin without even accepting that it's sin. Meat eating is prominent in these religions. And in Christianity, imbibing alcohol is also allowed. And previously, within Christianity, illicit sex, sex outside of marriage was proscribed. Contraceptive sex was proscribed. But now most Christian groups accept that, and they think, well, it's not only acceptable, but it's very good. It should be done. So they have adjusted according to the broader society beyond their own. They've changed their teachings according to the prevailing culture. Christianity used to lead the culture, now it is following the culture to a large extent. So in the same way, in our Krishna consciousness movement, it's very easy for us to just become part of the world, become part of the broader culture in many ways. And practically speaking, that's already happened to a large extent. Although illicit sex and divorce are proscribed in Krishna consciousness, specifically by Srila Prabhupada, it's become accepted as normal within the society of persons who call themselves followers of Srila Prabhupada. Which means that actually we've converted Prabhupada into what the Christians have converted Christ into, a figure who they pray to, but they don't really respect because they don't really follow him. Why, they don't follow his teachings. These may seem like very harsh words, but that is sometimes, if not often, required. If we're actually interested in serving Krishna, pleasing Krishna. Just like we may want to serve Krishna according to the way we want to serve him, like the person who is shaving my head over and over. We have to serve Krishna according to his conditions, not our conditions. So, I intend in the few days that I'm here to speak in a manner that I hope will be conducive for everyone's spiritual advancement. There are many important points that we may have heard, but we need to repeatedly hear. I'm not much interested in telling many stories or jokes, so what I speak may not be most entertaining. But if anyone can actually imbibe something which will help them to make actual progress in Krishna consciousness, then my coming here will have been successful. Simply to come and then people say, oh, it was very nice that he came. We enjoyed listening to him. And that is not my aim in coming here. So please listen carefully. Of course, I don't come to Russia very much. I don't see you very much. There, that is... my disciples who should hear from me, they could, if I have given many lectures in Russia, so if they could be collected, made into CDs or DVDs and distributed, that would be a service, at least for my disciples. So if you want to do a service, if you're eager to do some service, between you, you could arrange for this to be done. There are so many services that can be done. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said about one of his disciples that this disciple had performed the best service to him, to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Saraswati Thakur said that he'd done the best service by arranging for him, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to speak to so many prominent people in society. It means especially intellectuals. Of course, when Saraswati Thakur met prominent people, he didn't just have his photo taken with them.
Мы понимаем, конечно, когда Бхактисиддханта с кем-то встречался, с какими-то выдающимися людьми, не просто эти люди снимались на фотографии вместе с ним.
He would preach to them very strongly. So I should preach to you strongly, as I heard from Srila Prabhupada. It would be unfair to treat all the devotees as if they're all fully realized and fully qualified for hearing all higher topics or what of Krishna Lila. It would be unfair or improper to treat the devotees as if everyone's on the level of, they're already beyond all anarthas, and now all they have to do is hear and relish Krishna Lila. We should go beyond the platform of like and dislike and come to the platform of service to Krishna. That was the whole point of Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was on the platform of like and dislike. He thought, I do not like to fight this battle. Krishna took Arjuna beyond the platform of like and dislike to the platform of selfless service.
Но Кришна поднял его с этой платформы, нравится, не нравится, на платформу бескорыстного служения Кришне.
So even this platform of what I like and what I don't like, that can be brought into our apparent practice of Krishna consciousness. In which case we don't really enter Krishna consciousness at all. We may be very learned, we may be expert in singing, we might appear to be very advanced in many ways. But if we're prominently on the platform of what I like and what I don't like, then even in Krishna consciousness, that means we haven't actually come to the surrendered platform. Krishna consciousness is, of course, blissful. But the actual bliss of Krishna consciousness comes from surrender to Krishna. We should not substitute that surrender to Krishna with the cheap happiness that comes from what I like and what I don't like. We may think that, yes, I like to sing and dance, I like to take prasadam, but all these principles, I don't like so much. This is the half chicken consideration. Who knows this? The half chicken, the example of half a chicken. You all know that? The man, one demon had a chicken, and he used to take one egg from it every day and eat the egg. He's a demon. Demons do that. Humans. May not have been Hiranyakashipu-style demon, just an ordinary demon. You know, next-door neighbor type demon. So this demon was very intelligent, and he made a scientific observation that from the back of the chicken, I get one egg every day, which is very good. But from the front of the chicken, I have to feed every day, which costs me money, which isn't very good. So he came up with the intelligent scheme to chop off the front part of the chicken and only keep the back part. The result of this scientific manipulation was that he didn't get any more eggs. So in the same way, we may think, well, I like chanting and dancing and hearing nice classes about Krishna, but I don't like all the rules and regulations. Well, maybe some of them all the time, but I don't like to be told what to do. And I don't like all these nasty classes. And I don't, you know, all this Bhagavad Gita and... Now, we already know that. I already did my Bhakti Shastri 10 years ago. So why do I have to listen to that for? So, actual surrender means to go beyond this platform of what I like or do not like on the material platform. The actual hearing will increase our tendency to serve Krishna. We should also know what it means to serve Krishna. To serve Krishna, that should be what is pleasing to Krishna. We have to know who is Krishna and what he wants. For that, we have to study Bhagavad Gita. Matah parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. Krishna tells Dhananjaya, Arjuna, that there is no truth superior to me. And that is Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paramam Purusham Devyam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And to imbibe the spirit of service to Krishna, that we should also imbibe that. Sometimes devotees ask that, well, you know, I'm serving Krishna, but still I have so many problems. So, what's the use of it? Implied in the question is, what is the use of serving Krishna? Because generally people take to religion for material gain, for money. That's called, what's that called in Bhagavad Gita? One who takes to Krishna consciousness because he wants to get money. What's that person called? Artharthi. And people, because they're distressed, they think Krishna will remove my distress. Such a person is called what? What's the Sanskrit term? Artha. Artha, yeah. So such persons may approach Krishna, but if they are actually to come close to Krishna, then they have to become a jnani. In the sense that Krishna uses the word jnani in this verse, artho artharthi jignyasur jnani cha bharatarshava. A jnani means one who knows who is Krishna and what Krishna wants of me. One who approaches Krishna simply for mitigation of material problems is foolish. Foolish, but at the same time, fortunate to have approached Krishna. But such a person should come to a better platform. Now, Krishna says, Ananyas chintayantamam yejanaf pariyopasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam rahamyaham. Krishna says, for one who thinks of me constantly, without deviation, I provide, or I personally bring, everything that he needs for his practice of yoga, for what is favorable for his yoga. But exactly what constitutes yoga kshema, that which is required for our practice of yoga, that is for Krishna to decide, not for us. Well, Krishna, I think I need a new house and a new car, then I can serve you very well. So you better provide that. Now I'm going to embark on a career by which I'll get lots of money. Then I can serve Krishna well. For such a devotee or a some kind of devotee, Krishna may very kindly favor that devotee by taking away, not giving him what he wants, but taking away even what little he has. And then he has to decide that, well, do I want to serve Krishna or not? If in that situation he surrenders to Krishna, then that is far more valuable to him than getting house, car, and so many things. But if not, he may think, well, what's the use of worshipping Krishna? Better I go to the demigods. So Krishna is testing us at every step if we actually want to surrender to and serve him. To do that properly, we have to understand what is the science of Krishna consciousness, as Srila Prabhupada so often called it. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. This is the science of the topic of Krishna. Of Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is actually pleasing to Krishna. It's just like some devotees say that, you know, our preaching is very successful. So many people came to our program. But the real success is not necessarily how many people come, but how many people actually get an understanding of Krishna consciousness. We find that if we preach Krishna consciousness, not many people will come, generally speaking. So he may have an idea to preach something that people are more interested in than Krishna consciousness. Such as in this country is quite popular, Ayurveda, or what people imagine to be Ayurveda, or psychology. So this may not be an invalid approach to bringing people to Krishna. But the test will be if we actually bring them to Krishna. What sometimes happens is that we're so much talking about things other than Krishna, than the science of Krishna, that we ourselves start to think that Krishna consciousness means talking a lot about Ayurveda or psychology or yoga or something like this. Now we should know that unless there's a very strong sense of Krishna consciousness, whatever we do is useless. Our aim is not to spread Hinduism. Mm-hmm. You'll find most Hindus, even today, they have some picture in their shop or home, some picture of God. Some of them think that God is Krishna. They have a picture of Krishna. Some people have a picture of Ganesh, someone Sai Baba or some other Baba. There are so many. They may have 5, 6, 7 pictures, because they have more than one favorite god. So our aim is not to set up an Ayurvedic clinic with a picture of Krishna in it. But our aim is to make the whole society very strongly centered on Krishna. And within that society there may be Ayurveda also. It's tangential. Tangential? It's something... It's on the side.
Secondary, tertiary.
Secondary means in the second category. Tertiary means in the third category. The thing is that if we don't very clearly keep Krishna in the center, then something else comes in the center. With Ayurveda, it may be bodily consciousness. With psychology, it may be mental consciousness. I am the mind. But if we keep the teachings of Bhagavad Gita in the center, then Krishna will always be in the center. So try to understand Krishna as he presents himself in Bhagavad Gita. This is the basis of a solid, realistic advancement in Krishna consciousness. We should especially try to understand Krishna as Srila Prabhupada has presented Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, as a genuine acharya, was very practical in dealing with his followers. Srila Prabhupada personified the principle of distinguishing reality from illusion for the welfare of all. Are you familiar with this phrase? Reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all? Second. Alright, good. Alright, I'll finish there. Hare Krishna. Any questions about this particular subject? This introductory talk which I've given now? Yes, please.
You said that Gurukula meant to train the character of the person. Can you kindly clarify that, what character that should be? Because we had come in Krishna consciousness and we have already some character.
Yeah, character training means, first of all, they should be fixed in the four regulated principles. No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. Over and above that, they should imbibe the qualities of a brahmana as described in Bhagavad Gita. Shamo dhammah tapasyo cham kshantirajam evacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, cleanliness, tolerance, straightforwardness, knowledge, and wisdom, these are the qualities by which a brahmana works. Shamo dhamma tapa. Tapa means asceticism.
Asceticism.
It's interesting. What's the word? Asceticism.
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 Yeah. It used to be in English. It's now no longer in English. Ascesis is an archaic English word. Then, someone else had a question? Yes, please.
You said two words, reality and illusion. What does it mean? It means reality in the material world. What is it?
Reality means to know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I and everyone else are his servants. Illusion means any other worldview. One should also know who Krishna is, what he wants, what it means to be his servant. Just like that example I was given, someone might work very hard with the idea of promoting Krishna consciousness, but they're actually promoting something else more. They may work very hard to organize some programs promoting Ayurveda or something like that, with the idea that, well, ultimately, you see, we'll bring them to Ayurveda and then gradually we'll bring them to Krishna, or psychology or something, and then gradually we'll bring them to Krishna consciousness. So you may think that this is bhakti and that this is pleasing to Krishna, although we don't find any indication in Shastra that preaching anything else except what Krishna speaks about himself, that directly preaching Krishna consciousness, that is pleasing to Krishna. So we should know what is pleasing to Krishna ultimately. Otherwise, dharma sranushita, what is that? Vishvaksena katasriya, no padi adhyadi rachim shrama eva hi kevalam. If the end result is that people do not become eager to hear about and understand Krishna, then for all our good intentions, we're simply wasting our time. There's a saying in English, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You know that one? Yeah. You have it in Russian also? No.
Something.
All right. In other words, what we think is good, it may not be at all. There was one gentleman, or not very gentle, a little over half a century ago, who probably thought he was doing the right thing. His name was Herr Adolf Hitler. He probably thought what he was doing was good. All the German people, most of them thought, yeah, it's good, this is what we need. So, I mean, that's an extreme example, but more or less everyone thinks what they're doing is right. But we have to very clearly understand from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra what is actually right, what is actually pleasing to Krishna. That's why I'm saying, please come here to learn, not to be entertained. Festival means we'll be happy. We'll be happy if we advance on the path of surrendering to Krishna. Yeah. Anything else? You want to know the whole Srimad Bhagavatam all at once? That may take some time. Not possible to. The Bhagavatam proposes to distinguish reality from illusion. So please study Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, what's your question?
Can one devotee test another one? As I perceive in some temples of ISKCON, there is such a thing that some elder devotees, they are testing juniors.
It may be. I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about, but it may be. Yeah. Anything else? Is there a mic or here? Otherwise, speak loudly so the others can hear. You're not speaking to Sanatana Goswami, you're speaking to devotees in the corner at the back. Can you all hear there at the back?
You gave the example that disciple of Prabhupada approached him and told that we already have understood that we are not the body. And as we see, there are many shlokas in Bhagavad Gita about that. How we can practically, in our life, can realize that we are not the body? What does it mean?
To realize we are not the body means to act on the spiritual platform. That means the platform of selfless service to Krishna. The more we act on the spiritual platform, the more we realize that we have nothing to do with the material platform. Simple. Yes?
If some person wants to achieve the spiritual world, does it mean he has his self-desire, that it is selfish?
Well, regarding this, Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport that if there's any selfish desire, that may be there, the desire to go to the spiritual world. Because actually, no one can enter the spiritual world without becoming selfless. So one should think, let me go there to serve Krishna. If we think, let me go there to enjoy myself, then we're not qualified to enter, and we won't enter.